Thank you for listening to Weekly Wisdom, the podcast of First Presbyterian Church in Haddonfield, New Jersey. This episode is a sermon preached by Reverend Marvin Lindsay titled Ups and Downs. It's based on Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and it describes some essential practices that sustain the church in good times and in bad. We hope you'll enjoy.
Acts chapter 2 narrates the story of the birth of the church, but as Luke tells it, the church isn't born so much as it explodes on the scene with a great display of power that no one can miss. The Holy Spirit is poured out on the apostles on Pentecost, causing them to praise God in other languages. This is a foreshadowing of the global reach of this community. And then when a crowd forms to see what's going on, Peter preaches this powerful sermon to the crowd in Jerusalem that inspires 3,000 people to repent and to be baptized in a single day. 3,000, that's a lot of baptisms. That's like, I had to get out my calculator, but it's 250 per apostle. You have 12 apostles. That's a lot of baptisms. And the apostles go from baptizing to miracle working, and the church seems to have solved the problem of poverty, at least for itself and in its own community. They adopt this radical program of sharing so that nobody was in need of anything within the community of disciples. And they were a joyful and cheerful lot, these first Christians. They enjoyed a good reputation in the community. People were awed by what they were doing, and they continued to grow. Now, sometimes Acts is taken not just as the history of the first church, but as a template for every church in every time and place, for what every church ought to look like. And that raises kind of a worrisome question. If we are enjoying explosive growth, then are we doing it wrong? You know, if these things are happening in our midst as they were happening in Acts 2, have we gone astray somehow? Well, the answer is keep reading in the book of Acts. In chapter 5, things begin to kind of get bumpy. We read of a financial scandal in the early church. And in chapter 6 comes news of prejudice and discrimination amongst the early believers that causes a rift in the church. And then in chapter 8, a violent persecution breaks out in Jerusalem against the early Christian community, and nearly all of the disciples of Jesus Christ are forced into hiding or forced to flee the holy city for their lives. So Acts 2 is a snapshot of the first Christian congregation at a specific point in time. But Acts as a whole is the story of a movement that moves from smooth sailing to rough seas. It's a movement that has its ups and downs. But the constant in the midst of these ups and downs is that Christ is at the helm of their ship of faith. And the Spirit's presence and power fills its sails as they move forward searching for God's kingdom. Now, our congregation has had its share of ups and downs as well. This week, I read it once, and I started reading it again, this History of First Presbyterian Church of Haddonfield, New Jersey. This was published in 1996 on, I think, the 125th anniversary of the congregation. And it's a very different story. It has a different rhythm than what you see in Acts 2. Unlike the Jerusalem church, our congregation didn't so much explode on the scene as it kind of staggered out of the gate. I'm going to tell you some stories about that. The town of Haddonfield was settled in the early 1700s, but we couldn't scrape together enough Presbyterians to worship together until 1858. They were gathering at the town hall, and they had some interest in forming a congregation, but the Civil War postponed their best intended efforts. So in 1871, 36 people, or about 1/100th of the converts on Pentecost, gathered together and signed a petition asking the presbytery to organize a church in Haddonfield. And the presbytery said, yes, you can have a church in Haddonfield. And in 1873, Reverend Newberry was called and installed as the church's pastor. And they laid a cornerstone for the sanctuary that very same year. I know this is old news to some of you, but not to all of you. But they didn't get very far building the church because the panic of 1873, a severe economic crisis, swept through the land, and construction of the first church, not this current building, was postponed for a whole year. This is not in the notes, but I remember this. They were building the steeple for the church in the basement of the first church building, but they built the steeple so large that they couldn't get it out of the basement. And then, worst of all, Reverend Newberry and the congregation squabbled a good bit about money, about his salary. And the squabble went public when Reverend Newberry wrote a scathing letter that was published on the front page of the local newspaper, along with a rebuttal from some of the elders in the congregation. What a mess. Wow. For First Presbyterian, Pentecost came some decades later. The church began to find its footing. You know some of the highlights of this story. Mr. and Mrs. Moore, whose portraits are to my left, suffered a tragic loss. Their oldest son died at the age of 27. And so they made a substantial gift to build this sanctuary in his memory. And after about 40 years of existence, the church had 1,000 members. But then, when Reverend Kirkland was pastor of this congregation, I believe some of you still remember him, the congregation doubled in membership in just a few years. They were taking in 60 members per Sunday. And in this book it says, something had to be done. It's a nice problem to have, right? It's not like the roof is collapsing, something's got to be done. It's like, we're bowling at the theme, something's got to be done. And so the education building was built. Again, however, I suspect that whether it's downs and ups or ups and downs or whatever the sine and cosine wave looks like, I suspect that the constant in First Presbyterian Church's history has been the living Christ at the helm of this congregation and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit filling its sails as it charts a course toward the kingdom of God. So I think what I'd like to talk about now in the remainder of the sermon is not just these ups and downs and not just these kind of increases or decreases in favor and in numbers, but in what the congregation is doing that sustains itself during good times and in bad. We find these key practices of the first Christian community in Acts 2:42. I think they're relevant for this Christian community in 2023. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And so that's three practices. I want to think with you about each of those practices, what it meant for them, and what it might mean for us. First, the apostles' teaching and fellowship. The apostles' experience of Jesus, both during his earthly ministry and, more importantly, their eyewitness accounts of his resurrection presence and power, those were experiences that these new Christians did not have. And so these new Christians wanted to spend time with people who had spent time with Jesus, both in his earthly ministry and in his resurrected glory. They wanted to get to know more about Jesus. And so they got to know more about Jesus by getting to know people who had known more about him. And this knowledge that was passed down word hand to mouth, this knowledge helped them understand the scriptures in a deeper way. The scriptures foretold a Messiah that would suffer and then be raised, but nobody seemed to have been looking for that when Jesus was going about his earthly ministry, and even when he was talking about his need to suffer and then to be raised. It was only after they had seen the risen Christ and he had opened their minds to understanding the scriptures that they were able to properly understand God's plan and God's purpose for the people of Israel and for the whole world. And so it's this eyewitness testimony that opens the Bible to them in a way that would have been closed to them otherwise. And they needed this. And so they spent time with people who could open their eyes in that way. The second thing they did was they broke bread together. They broke bread together. Now, is Luke talking about Holy Communion, the meal that we celebrate at this table once a month? Or is he talking about first century covered dish covers? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. He's talking about both. Because in the very earliest church, there wasn't a really big difference between the ceremonial meal, where we remember the body and blood of Christ, and a fellowship gathering that brings people together and feeds our mortal bodies. Both of them kind of bled together, because the early disciples had experienced the presence and power of the risen Christ in fellowship meals, in breaking bread together. There's this story that Luke tells at the end of his gospel, before he writes Acts of the Apostles, about on Easter Sunday, there were two disciples that were leaving Jerusalem after Jesus had been crucified. And Jesus joins them along the road, but they don't recognize him. And they have a fascinating conversation. These two disciples invite Jesus to come into their home when they get home and have dinner with them. And then at the dinner table, something strange happens. The guest, Jesus, grabs the bread and becomes the host. He says a blessing over the bread. He breaks it. He gives it to the disciples. And then they recognize him. And they see that he's been raised from the dead. So any meal that was shared in faith with disciples of Jesus Christ could be an opportunity to meet the risen Christ. And the word sharing here is important as well. The way that the disciples eliminated need from their community was they shared their bread with one another. They shared their resources. And this mutual sharing created a community where nobody lacked for anything. And finally, they devoted themselves to the prayers. Not just prayer, but the prayers. What's Luke talking about when he refers to the prayers? Well, we aren't sure, but the early Christians are here in Jerusalem, where the temple is, and where day by day the priests are offering sacrifices of thanksgiving or atonement for the people. And along with these sacrifices, the priests chanted and recited psalms, those prayers from that book of the Bible that expresses people's joy and concerns to God Almighty. So hearing and reading and reciting the psalms may have been a specific way that they came into God's presence. They went to the temple and heard those, and they committed them to memory, and they spent time in those psalms, reciting them and letting those words form the unarticulated hopes and fears in their own hearts and express them to God. Teaching and fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer. These three practices kept the earliest Christians humble in times of growth and kept them hopeful in times of adversity. These practices did so by keeping them connected to Jesus Christ and keeping them plugged into the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think that these practices can do that for us today if we take them up. So first, devote yourselves to the teaching and fellowship of experienced, mature Christians. So Pastor Nikki's already mentioned her Zoom Bible study on Thursdays at 7 o'clock. If you haven't attended that Zoom Bible study, attend this week or on a Thursday that is near in your schedule and that you can make it there. You're going to the book of Genesis, is that right? And so Genesis is about God's call and claim on the patriarchs and matriarchs of our faith, on families. And so if you are related to people, then this book of the Bible can especially speak to you because it really needs to speak to us in our relationships with one another, doesn't it? So join Pastor Nikki Thursdays at 7 p.m. on Zoom. Register your children and your grandchildren and your nieces and nephews for Vacation Bible School. It's coming up at the end of July. You don't have to take a break from learning about God's Word in the summertime. Your children will have to take a break, even though they're on vacation from school. And you don't have to take a break either. Make some time for you to spend in the Word, and make time for the children in your life to spend time in the Word. And then finally, You know, we have this wonderful confirmation process in our church where our children or our youth learn all about the beliefs and practices of our church and what it means to be an adult, mature Christian. And part of that process is that we pair them together with an adult mentor. Here's the thing. You never stop needing a mentor when you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. There is always something more that we can learn. There is always something, some new way that we can grow. And there is always someone out there who is a little bit further down the road than we are. So find that person. Find that person who whose life seems to just exude Christ in a way that others don't often exude Christ. Find that person and get close to that person. You are the company that you keep. And so if you desire to become more Christ-like, spend time with Christ-like people. Number two, let's break bread together. So at First Presbyterian Church, we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion once a month, the first Sunday of the month. That's next Sunday. So I would invite you to make it a point of being here next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Make it a point to be here. When we eat the bread and drink the cup that we find at this table, we remember that Christ's body was broken to atone for our sins. We remember that the blood he shed on the cross cleanses us of our sins. But we do more than just remember that these things happened in the past. We trust and believe that the resurrected Christ is present to us and for us when we break bread together and when we share the cup together. Not in a magical way, not in a mechanistic way, but through faith and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are united to the living Christ, and he feeds our souls with his very self at this table. And there are other ways that we can break bread together. You know, COVID has kept us from breaking bread together for a long time now. But fortunately, the pandemic is receding, and that means some of the ways that we used to gather together are returning. So the Strawberry Festival is back in June. Is that right? Can I get a witness? All right. So Strawberries on June 2nd. And in June, our thanks to our deacons, our fellowship hour after worship is returning. We can gather in the parlor, I suppose. Is that where we're going to gather? No, we're not going to gather in the parlor. We're gathering downstairs. Okay, I'm still new here. So, but if I find you in the parlor, I'll lead you downstairs. If you find me in the parlor, you lead me downstairs. So spend some time after worship, you know, chatting with your sisters and brothers in Christ. This is a good way to find people that might, whether they know it or not, become your mentor at some point in the future. And as we break bread together, let us remember that impetus for sharing that guided the early Christian community. Let us share our bread so that no one needs to go without, so that no one needs to go hungry. We, in this congregation, for a long time have supported a ministry at St. Wilfrid's Church in Camden that provides food and clothing for those who often don't know where their next meal is going to come from. The next time we're at St. Wilfrid's is May 13th, and you can find out information in your bulletin about how to participate in that ministry. And this month in May, we are also cooking dinner for Joseph's House twice, during the day on the 16th and on the 30th. And Joseph's House is a ministry in our community that helps people find stable and affordable housing, people who are housing insecure or people who have been on the streets. So take advantage of one of those opportunities. When we share our bread, we strengthen ties with one another and with our living Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, the prayers. So there's nothing wrong with a spontaneous prayer that may come out as you are stuck in traffic or as you are desperately looking for your keys while you're late for work in the morning. But I would encourage you not just to pray in moments of desperation or spontaneously, but set aside some daily time for prayer. If you're a morning person, set aside some time in the morning to pray. If you're an evening person, set aside some time before you go to bed at night. Prayer is listening. Prayer is conversation, which means that there is a listening and a speaking component. So if you don't know what to say, In a few moments, Reverend Nikki's going to lead us in the Lord's Prayer. You can use those words. And if you don't know how to listen, then incorporate the Bible into your time of prayer. Read something from the Bible and listen for God's Word coming to you. Now, I know the Bible is a big book, and sometimes we don't know where to start. So I would encourage you, if you don't know where to start, this is a hymn book. We're going to pretend it's a Bible. Just to open it up to the middle, you know this trick, some of you who were in Sunday school when you were a kid. When you open it up to the middle, you go to what? What book? The book of Psalms. And the Psalms are the prayers of the Israelite people. They are expressions of joy and sadness, anger and thanksgiving. The whole gamut of human emotions is in the book of Psalms. And when we listen to the voices of our ancestors in faith praying to God, we can hear the voice of God speaking to us. So this congregation has seen good times and bad. Every congregation has seen good times and bad. And in good times and in bad, Christians are best sustained by prayer, by sharing, by feasting with one another and with our risen Lord, and by the kinds of friendships and relationships that open our minds to understanding the Scriptures. May it be so with us in this season of ministry. In the name of the one who is, and who was, and who is to come.
Thanks for listening. Please rate and review this podcast so that we can reach more people with the good news of Jesus Christ. To support our ministry, go to www.haddonfieldpres.org and click on the Give tab at the top of the page. Grace and peace be with you.